This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, I want to include you in the mix. I want to include Adam and Shaletta in on the mix. I thank both of them for coming on the air, John Palmer and Ekrem Elmaghi. I'm not going to deny I on most of the points, if not all the points, I agree with Ekrem significantly more than John. We gave them about the same time, John a little bit more. When people say things or when they're asking questions, I'm going to jump in more. I think it is an extraordinary generalization to look at an IQ of the United States of America. Where are we at, Carter? 320 million people, something like that. And then look at the IQ of, was he looking at the, I guess I should have asked him, was he looking at the IQ of Somalia? Was he looking at Muslims total? Because then it's, you know, billions of individuals. And say, because of that, we're smarter than them. They're just innately not as intelligent as us. Because when you have 320 million people, you're going to have some brilliant, amazing, fantastic, genius-level people, and you're also going to have some fools who are ignorant, who struggle, maybe are trying to achieve but just don't have that ability. When an attack takes place, and it was a horrific attack, and it was religious-driven at the mall, no doubt about it, not a question. You Christian, right? But then to say, because we do have those individuals and we have had those attacks in this country and in many other countries in the West, well, that means because others happen to share that faith, by the way, like billions, not like 10, like billions, then everybody has to be the same. That is just a broad generalization, which denigrates individuals. If we want to have a conversation about what we have available, how many refugees, how we allow as many people in our country to succeed as possible, those who are coming here, those who are here, let's have those debates. But let's not take these high-profile incidents where they've taken part of the faith and they've distorted it dramatically and just say, well, everybody must be like that. Because, and this is the standard one, but I'll go with it, because how many attacks? I mean, Adam, I don't have all the facts are in my hand right now, but the guy who was about to shoot up as many people down in Dallas the other day, that was a white guy, right? I mean, how many other things do we have to cite on a regular basis of mass shootings that are horrific, that happen towards adults, that happen towards kids? And that doesn't mean we're not aware of what Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other groups may want to do. And they may interpret it in their own religion. I don't doubt John when he cites this book where there are people who want to have a long war against Christianity. I don't doubt there are other books out there where people are taking the Christian faith and using that in a very distorted way to push things that many of us completely disagree with. Why is it so difficult for individuals to judge individuals on a case-by-case basis and stop leaping to conclusions because they don't look like you? If in your immediate circle, in your town, in your community, in your country. You have individuals who are defying the law, who are creating havoc, who are murdering people. Let's judge them individually. Let's try to find out what's going on. But to say others who just happen to share religion, or by the way, their skin isn't white, to go to that conclusion, I just find remarkably insulting. John Palmer is a university professor. He was very capable of defending himself. I don't agree with so many things he said, but I do appreciate that he came on, because he does reflect a lot of people all across this country. And if you don't think that, we can open up the phone lines and include a lot of calls who will back him up. In fact, we're going to do that right now. I want to get Adam and Shaletta right when we come back, but I want you to chime in. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. I want phone calls and texts. It's the topic that you grab some people. Either you're just so with John Palmer, you're bothered by him, you believe in Ekram, you disagree with Ekram. Reach out. Let's go back and forth a little bit on some of these topics. All right, let's get right to it. Adam, you first, then Shaletta. I know you both read the story. Shaletta, you looked long and hard to get guests on. Again, I thank the two guests for coming on. Adam, taking in the story and what John and Ekram had to say.
Well, I get it. I mean, I last year, the fishing opener was in Wilmer. And that is a small Minnesota community, predominantly white community, but there is also a population of Somalians now that have come there to work. And there's a portion of downtown Wilmer that is, there's Somali businesses there. And I would get that people who have lived in Wilmer their whole life, white families who've lived in Wilmer, that is alarming to them.
Tom Friedman wrote a long column about Wilmer.
Yeah.
And the diversity and the challenges and what has worked a couple weeks ago. It's worth taking a look at.
100%. And that is where our focus should be, is that, okay, these people are here to try to make a living,
mm-hmm.
fleeing someplace that they – let's work on that and coming together instead of, oh, my God, the boogeyman is out there, and that's who the boogeyman looks like. Because, yes, Islamic terrorism is real, and they succeeded in a horrifying way 18 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and 17 years ago.
And they have many other times since.
Exactly. And in many other countries, including here. But terror comes in many forms. And
yes,
we're almost weekly talking about mass shootings that sometimes have to do with religion, a lot of times have nothing to do with religion, mm-hmm. and more to do with just somebody who's not right in the head. And
if we look at the crime numbers in this country, white males compared to those of the Muslim faith, it's not close.
And if you focus on that, what I'm trying to say is we're just scared of so much in this country. They're just – people thrive on it. People make so much money off making you scared.
Yes.
And that shapes your views, because whatever you're reading or listening to, this is scary to me. These people don't look right. They don't worship the same God as me. Then, there's other people who think like me who are telling me to behave this way and that it's okay that I feel this way. When if you just overcome your personal fears, that would move you a long way. It's just we're so scared of everything that we resist just even taking an opportunity to meet with somebody else.
Yep.
It's just.
Just think of the, and I'll go to Shaletta here. Just think of all the leaps we could make. If we extrapolate, well, you know what? Because this group did this. And by the way, we do have a problem with Islamic radical terrorists, right? I think Obama was too reluctant to use that term. George W. Bush wouldn't use that term. But we're going to say, because – and by the way, there are parts of the Muslim faith and how others are treated I absolutely don't agree with. Guess what? So are many Muslims. There are many Catholics. There are many Protestants. There are many Jews who don't agree with significant portions of their faith, but still practice other parts. So every time we have a Catholic or a Christian or a Jew or a Protestant who commits this, we're going to say, well, that has to be everybody else. That's repugnant to me. Shaletta, what do you think?
I'm just tired of people from the Muslim community and Somali community feeling like they have to apologize when, you know, one person commits an act of terror, as if it's a reflection of everyone who looks like the person committing the crime. You know, when Dylann Roof went in and shot up a church full of people who welcomed him in South Carolina,
yep.
You know, white men weren't running to the microphone in every city saying, we're not like that. It's not us. Don't judge us. You know, we're sorry on his behalf, and we're going to do better to, you know, promote unity and show you that white men are great people. White men don't have to do that. So why do the Muslim people here in this country who are refugees or Muslim American or people specifically from the Somali community in St. Cloud have to do that? It's not fair.
Let's pause right here. Greg, Rita, phone lines ringing right now, and a number of texts. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Call or text on this topic for one more segment. A YouTube problem. A Washington Post investigation. That's at the bottom of the hour. Dara 235 and lighter topics throughout the show. My last comment then to the calls and texts. Let's not forget that during the heart of the campaign, a man who's now the president, a man who's now the commander-in-chief, called for a Muslim ban in this country. Think about that. Billions of Muslims across the globe. A percentage of them have distorted the religion and used the religion as a horrific way to brutally murder people. No defense of that at all. That is an extraordinarily small percentage of the people. And that's what the president of states, once he became president, wanted to do. And a lot of people who are texting in would want that right now. That's a sad, sad statement that that's taking place in 2019. Rita has called in. Go ahead, Rita, you're on CCO.
Yeah, I just wanted to share my view in this. As an American, we have the right, the privilege to be whoever we want to be. I mean, that's why people come to our country, because we're all treated equally. Well, you know what? These people that, including Trump, that says that the Mexicans and the Somalians and the Jews and the, you know, the whites, whatever, you know, and that guy that called, he says that he's not racism. He says he treats all people the same. Well, he's not treating all people the same if he's saying that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Rita. Appreciate the phone call. Greg's in Maple Grove. Greg, you're on.
Yeah, say thanks, Chad. Say, yeah, listen to your program with that guy. I'm glad you had both sides on there. You made an interesting comment saying we should evaluate people individually. And see, this is what we've been trying to say on the right when we talk about getting people in at the border. We want to look at them individually and then decide whether they should come into our country or not. So, when you hear people say, oh, we shouldn't have this, and if Trump says...
Has anybody on this show, Greg, ever said open borders? Never. Nobody on this show has ever said it. I have said on this show numerous times, I think wall in many places makes sense. I called out Nancy Pelosi for saying it's immoral. I called out Beto O'Rourke for saying that all walls should be taken out. I've called out the president because it's more than just a wall. That, yes, we have an enormous crisis that's going on the border right now. And a lot of it has taken place since the president took over. And a lot of it's not his fault, by the way, but what's going on in Guatemala, Honduras. And the most foolish thing he's done is instead of sending more money there to help them, taking away more money so more of them will come here. But now let's take it back to St. Cloud. Do you think the people in St. Cloud are being treated individually, or are they being painted with a generalization because others who also share the same faith have used it in a horrific way?
Yeah, I guess I don't know about the St. Cloud incident, you know, and what he's trying to say. But I tell you what, I know people that have gone to Europe, and he's more right than you think he is.
But we're not talking Europe right now. We're talking St. Cloud. I mean, you're bringing up points that merit a conversation another time. But we're talking about St. Cloud and what's happening there and treating people individually. And just because we have extremes in other cases doesn't mean we have to leap to those extremes here. Greg, please call in again. I appreciate that you called in. Bob's in St. Paul. Go ahead, Bob.
Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that the United States has been meddling all around the world for probably the last 150, 200 years. Central America is a prime example of that. Just look up banana wars on the internet, and you'll find that we've been there for a long, long time. Look up the statement of Smedley Butler, 2 Medal of Honor winner. He's won 2 Medal of Honors for his work, shall we say, there. Another point is that the world's coming up on almost 8 billion people in 3.5 years from now. And in another 16, we're going to be at 9 billion people. We're on limited resources as far as clean water, exotic minerals that we need for cell phones, say.
Okay, so what should we do about that, sir? And how does this tie to St. Cloud?
Well, I know you're talking about the St. Cloud Mall attack.
No, we're not talking about this. We're talking about how people are being treated in St. Cloud, and John Palmer, and to his credit, he came on the show, cited this St. Cloud attack as a reason why some people are looking at with greater concern about what's happening in St. Cloud regarding the number of Muslims and refugees who live in the area. So that's what we're trying to zero in on right now.
Okay. Right now, I don't have an answer. The best answer I've got is from a co-worker I had at Menards. We need to learn how to get along with each other.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Let's get to some of the texts here. Let's see. These people need to stop lying about Europe. There are just more people in Europe, so they hear things. The percentage of right-wingers who do more fire violence in America, percentage of the population is sickening. Yeah, Adam, and we talk about the hate crimes. The hate crime numbers are up in an extraordinary way in this country. They're up significantly more with white supremacists. And it's not close. It is not close. This text, if Muslims would do a better job assimilating themselves to the country in our ways, it would surely help them instead of, I know they hate our regions. Carter, you want to jump in on that one in particular? You want to chime in? Sounds like to me a lot of individuals are saying, I don't like their religion. I'm not going to get to know them, so I'm making the generalization about them as opposed to judging them individually.
That's it. I mean, you get these stories, and there's another texter pointing to certain stories that I've heard about, too, that, you know, oh, you hear about what they did here and this, and, you know, it just becomes like, wow, it must be fact that that happens, and that whole group of people acts that way, and that's part of their culture. Instead of educating yourself to actually take the time to get to know someone or a group of people.
34 past one. You are assuming all Muslims are black. When did I say that? I never even came close to saying all Muslims are black. It's rather bizarre, some of the texts we get. 34 past one. Let me read the first graph from a story that was written by 3 writers, including Craig Timberg, who's about to join us. Craig is with the Washington Post. The U.S. government is in the late stages of an investigation into YouTube for allegedly violating children's privacy, according to 4 people familiar with the matter. In a probe that threatens the company with a potential fine and has already prompted the tech giant to reevaluate some of its business practices. As I mentioned, Craig Timberg is a part of the story. He's one of their national technology reporters, and Craig is kind enough to join us. Craig, when do we expect some sort of formal announcement?
We don't know exactly when the formal announcement will come, but this has been brewing for quite some time. Consumer groups and privacy activists have been warning for a long time and complaining for a long time that YouTube violates children's privacy.
So what are they doing specifically?
So I think we all know that YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all these free services online make their money by collecting data on us and then targeting us with ads.
Sure.
It's the sort of the money source for Silicon Valley. There's a federal law from 1998 that prohibits this kind of activity for children who are under the age of 13. And so this has been a tension for a great deal of time. Of course, we all know, any of us with kids certainly know that kids love YouTube, right? 80% of preteens watch YouTube. And of course, when they go on YouTube, the same thing's happening. Their data is being collected. They're being targeted with that. And for years, YouTube has said, oh, no. YouTube isn't for kids, right? Well, kids aren't allowed to be on there. And finally, it looks like the federal investigators are going to call them on this and say, well, of course there are kids on there, right? It's full of nursery rhymes and cartoons. So that's where the tension is.
I'm going to read you part of your story here. FTC penalties, talking about the Federal Trade Commission, when they've been levied, often come after years of violations and rarely been large enough to dent the profit margins of major technology companies. In February, the FTC issued its highest financial penalty yet for breaking kids' privacy rules. It was a $5.7 million settlement with an app known as TikTok for violations as allegedly began in 2014. Craig, if the FTC violates YouTube or fines YouTube for $5.8 million, a little bit more, that's like 10 bucks to me and you. I mean, so...
Or 10 cents.
Yeah, or a penny. I mean, honestly, or half a penny. Well, I mean, are you, from what you're reporting, do you expect this to be similar when we're talking about a fine or much more significant?
The money just doesn't matter in this case. It's hard to imagine how much money. I mean, YouTube's owned by Google, one of the richest companies in the world, and so it's hard to imagine any amount of money that the U.S. government could fine YouTube and Google that would matter to their businesses. But the kind of things they can do is they can require, by law, changes in the way the platform operates. And that could be costly, and it could also provide some greater protection for children. You know, the way these things tend to go at the FTC is they don't tend to it's not like a police. They're not going to, you know, charge someone with a crime and take them to court and all that. What they do is they tend to negotiate out settlements. They'll say to YouTube, you know, we've got a problem. You've got to fix this. They'll negotiate a fine, but they also will negotiate changes in how their business practices work. And that's where the hope is that something real could happen.
Okay. Here's another part where you pick up on what another outlet, a very credible outlet, The Journal. Wall Street Journal reported Wednesday that YouTube was considering moving all the children's content off the service and into a separate app, YouTube Kids, to better protect younger viewers. A change that could be difficult to implement because of the sheer volume of content on YouTube and potentially could be costly to the company in lost advertising revenue. Why would that be such a challenge for YouTube?
Well, first of all, YouTube doesn't put up the content. You know, users upload 400 hours of content to that platform every minute of the day, every day. And so just the sorting and reallocating would be a technical challenge. But also, you know, kids don't actually want to watch YouTube Kids, right? It's like imagine 11 and 12-year-olds, you know, you want to take them to, like, the petting zoo. At a certain point, they're like, yeah, Mom, Dad, you know, I want to go to something real. That's how kids are with YouTube. They want to go to YouTube proper. So pulling all of the kids' content off of YouTube almost certainly won't solve the problem in a meaningful way.
Do you expect that more people within government, whether it's the Trump administration, although the Trump administration obviously is the FTC, but we're going to hear more from senators, more congressional pressure that will cause more of this change? Because we have watched, whether it's been Facebook and other outlets on the social media side, have been brought up in front of Congress and have been pretty embarrassed and called them out. Is YouTube facing any of that yet, or are we a ways away from that?
Well, it's worth noting that, you know, the FTC, which is the investigator in this case, is an independent and bipartisan agency. And You know, so we don't have any reason to believe that the White House said, you know, go investigate YouTube. These things take a while. It may well have even started when Obama was still president. All that said, the White House and Congress both have been training their sights on the tech companies in a way we've never seen before over the past several months. We haven't heard calls to bring YouTube to the Hill yet, but Google, its parent company, has been summoned a couple of times already. So these issues are increasingly resonant politically, which means that Congress and the White House are interested in making hay with them, frankly.
So you're talking to an individual who has a child who's on YouTube. You probably are somebody who's had a kid on YouTube. Shaletta, my producer's got multiple kids on YouTube. I guarantee we have people listening.
Yep.
What should they do, knowing that this is out there? What can they adjust, or do they have to wait for the FTC to impose these changes, and thus YouTube makes changes?
Man, I wish I knew what to do. I do have three kids, and you know, my youngest, who just turned 13, absolutely loves YouTube, and I don't really know what to do to fix these problems other than to flat out ban her from it, which I have been willing to do.
Yeah, good luck on that one.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I do tell parents is take your kids' devices away at bedtime, and ideally a half hour, hour before bedtime, so they can unwind from it. It's a very concrete thing. Everyone kind of gets it, but lots of bad things happen after dark, and that includes over these devices. So I would urge everybody, do not let your kids go to bed with their phones.
Craig, thanks so much. Very interesting. We'll keep following this story.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Craig Timberg, again, let's see where this one goes, because it's another powerful entity where you have a government body looking at it, and, you know, whether you're directly going to it or you're indirectly going to it, YouTube is playing a part in people's lives every single day. And for a lot of us, just, you know, literally hundreds of times a day. So, again, it's Craig Timberg. He, along with two other Washington Post writers, had this story first. YouTube under federal investigation over allegations it violates children's privacy. 148, that is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to call us for free home improvement estimates on windows and insulation. Earlier this week, we had an excellent guest, Aaron David Miller, talking about the incredible challenges the U.S. faces with Iran. Miller is a fellow with the Woodrow Wilson Center. He worked with six different secretaries of state. He worked in the State Department for 24 years. He worked with Democrats and Republicans. It's worth podcasting that interview in particular just to hear his expertise on what is happening now and what should take place and how difficult it will be. That's, of course, before that a U.S. drone was shot down by Iran, only adding to the difficulty. The president put a tweet out. Iran made a very big mistake. And the president is very powerful with his statements on Twitter. And a lot of times they've turned out to be policy changes. And other times they've been bluster. Asked about a U.S. response when he met with the media while he's meeting with Justin Trudeau. He said repeatedly, you'll find out. The president also said he could not imagine the missile attack on the drone was intentional, and it a feeling a general or somebody mistakenly ordered the attack. Shaletta, maybe he's getting that information from his top people.
I doubt that.
The president is fully, fully capable of just saying stuff off the top of his head. Remember, he has said many, many times, what? I know more about this and that than the generals. I'm smarter than the generals. I'll just play the whataboutism again here very briefly. If Iran intentionally or unintentionally, but it wasn't verified at that point. But considering what had taken place of late, nobody could fault you for assuming this was intentional. And Barack Obama was still president of the United States. And Barack Obama came out and said, you know, yeah, it was just a mistake by a general with Iran or somebody. How do you think the Fox News wing at night, Shaletta, would handle that one? Hannity and Tucker and Laura. Think they'd be okay with that? Listen, I want no part of a war with Iran. When I hear these reports that the president is pushing back on Bolton and Pompeo, good. I don't want us to end up in war, but also there's a line of standing up. But let's just play that out again. Play that one out again. Obama said, no, come on. It was just somebody else. I'm sure it'd be the same sort of response, right? Shaletta, are you wearing deodorant right now? Have I ever asked you a personal question like that before?
I was going to say, wait a minute now. Hold on.
Yeah, we were commenting on this. 40% of young adults between the ages of 18 and 24 have not used deodorant within the past month. 30% of adults between 25 and 34 said the same thing.
Oh, my God. What does their workplace smell like?
Yeah, I mean, you're the germaphobe.
Oh,
I'm not, okay? But I thoroughly enjoy a shower. I like feeling clean. Can you explain this one to me?
No, I cannot.
You cannot explain this one?
No, what is going on? I mean, we work, we sweat, we walk, we work out at lunchtime. We walk to get something to eat. It's a little warm outside, especially down in Texas right now. It's over 100 degrees. And you mean to tell me 40% of those people in that age group don't have on
deodorant? No deodorant. Well, I mean, some could be perspiration kings like our friend Adam Carter. Adam has mentioned he's a perspirer, right? If Adam, when he's sweating, wouldn't be using deodorant, you know we'd have him? We'd have him in that different studio.
Mm-mm. He'd stay in the newsroom with Susan and him.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He might like that, so let's not tell him that. He might say, no, wait a second. I don't have to be the flat catcher? Wait, I'm going to start wearing deodorant on a regular basis.
So is this something that they're learning from their parents? Because I know for us, the 13-year-old, it's a requirement. So are they rebelling, or is this something that the parents are saying, oh, no, you don't have to do it. It's not necessary.
Well, I'm
just
wondering.
Pick up the work.
Maybe it's I'm away from home. I get to do whatever I want. Okay, I feel like I'm reasonably outspoken, but compared to you, I'm nothing. Would you feel comfortable saying, let's say I started, you're on your secret mission. So we're back together on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And on Wednesday, Adam and I stop wearing deodorant.
Baby?
Okay. You'd feel okay telling us?
Yeah. And I feel okay putting in my 2-week notice.
Yeah. Or literally putting deodorant on us. All right. Arms up. Let's go. All right. Dara and a Justice for Jamar topic next hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.